UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
Was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome everyone, wherever in the world you are joining us from. I am your host, Nick Hunter, and you're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. Clint is our guest tonight, and Clint worked as a chef for many years, and it would mean working in some very remote and isolated places. One of those places was Wyoming, where Clint experienced his strange encounters. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the podcast, Clint.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is great to have you join us, calling from Arkansas.
Yeah.
And you have some experiences that occurred during your time in Wyoming. Would you like to start at the very beginning for us, please, Clint?
Sure. So I'm Clint. I'm 38 years old. I've been cooking professionally for 21 years, the last 15 of which I've been a traveling chef, usually working at guest dude ranches, ski resorts, an island resort. I would just move quite a bit. So the majority of what we're going to be talking about happened between 2017 and 2019. This is going to be up in north central Wyoming, slightly south of the town of Tinsleep, Wyoming. If you Google Tinsleep Canyon, you'll see what was essentially my backyard. So just to kind of start off, I was raised really religious. Definitely not that now, nor is my family. But when I was very young, I loved watching like things like X-Files with my dad and stuff like that. He had been a Star Trek fan all the time. But, you know, there was not like talk about, you know, aliens or UFOs. That was kind of seen as like not religious and therefore wrong. I had two sightings when I was a kid. One night when it was after church and I had to go out. I was raised on a farm, I should say that. I had to go out when we got home from church one night, and I think I had to close up the chicken coop and like refill the dog's water. And I'm standing out in the middle of my yard. And just out of nowhere, it was just over so quickly. It went from horizon to horizon. I'm going to say that term probably a couple times in these stories. For lack of a better description, it would almost looked, well, I won't say a boomerang. It was like a perfect triangle with like sloped bottom parts. So picture a triangle, but the bottom of the triangle kind of curves inward a little bit, if that makes any sense. And there was the exact shape in the middle of that triangle as well, that was darker. So it looked like this, you know, flying like that triangle shape. And it just went silently I would say, I don't know, maybe 5,000 feet up. It didn't seem to be too incredibly high. I could easily make out the corners and the edges, and it just silently went just gone. And I remember being really scared, but at the same time, I didn't even tell my parents about it. You know, we weren't allowed to celebrate holidays. I'm not going to go ahead and name the religion, but you can probably put it together what it was. But yeah, holidays and birthdays and whatnot, we weren't allowed to celebrate. So, and I don't know, like I said, anything not religion wasn't really okay to talk about. So I remember never telling my parents about it. Flash forward a couple of years, I remember having a camp out with some friends out in my backyard. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, looking out the window of my tent. And I was kind of laying on my back, looking out the screen window and looking at the stars and what looked like a small constellation. The stars broke up and all started kind of swirling around a little bit. And then they would freeze almost in like a different formation. And I sat there and watched that for about 10 minutes. And then it just stopped. And I mean, I think I was like 10 or 11. So it was just like, oh, weird. And it's the middle of the night. Everyone else is sleeping. So I just kind of rolled over and went to sleep. Those are the only real experiences I had as a kid. But it always was something of interest to me. I mean, I remember buying, you know, unexplained mysteries books and stuff like that about the Bermuda Triangle and Bigfoot and, you know, Loch Ness Monster and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, as I mentioned earlier, you know, like, you know, you grow up and things change and you kind of just stop looking into stuff like that. I moved out when I was 17, started working full time as a cook, and then just ended up starting a career. And, you know, you're not looking around for UFOs. You know what I mean? So it wasn't a really big interest anymore. At this point, I'd been in Chicago for a year in 2016 with my then girlfriend. I'd been there for a year, like I said, with her. We wanted to start doing, she had never done the type of work that I had done, you know, moving with the seasons, you know, traveling, living. She'd always been in Illinois. I told her all kinds of stories about the mountains and, you know, having horses in your front yard and the crisp air and all that kind of stuff. And she was really into it. So after a lot of job searching, I got a offer as an executive chef at this very nice guest ranch in Wyoming. So we moved out there. I want to say February 2nd of 2017 is when we moved into this house. Now this house is it was basically a glorified double wide trailer with like a built-in front porch with an awning, a two-car garage. And we were about a quarter mile from the actual ranch itself. When we were talking earlier, I told you about how isolated it was. Here in Arkansas, this is Walmart land. This is where, you know, Walmart started. So there's a Walmart everywhere. When I moved here and people asked, you know, oh, so you're in the middle of nowhere. Like, what does that mean exactly? And truthfully, from where I lived, the nearest Walmart was a 2-hour drive to Cody, Wyoming. So just to go to Walmart was a 4-hour ordeal. So that's my nearest neighbor, I think, was about anywhere between 3 and 7 miles away. So here, it was a 27,000 acre ranch. So a lot of it was BLM land, that's the Bureau of Land Management. So there's not a lot of structures. There's no street lights. You could see the Milky Way if it was clear, if there weren't clouds, you were looking at the Milky Way. It was straight up and down as we were facing south. Polaris was always right behind me. From that vantage point, that's sitting on the front porch. You could see the Milky Way. Anyway, so her and I moved there early 2017. Now, I would say we'd been there about a month when we had our first experience. Now, her and I, at the time, we both smoked cigarettes. We were always sitting on the front porch at night. And the way it started was just like any other night hanging out. At one point, I think my ex said, hey, do you see that? And we looked to the west of us. And what looked like just a star slightly above the horizon was exceptionally bright. And, you know, with that clean mountain air, you know, stars seem to shimmer a lot more with less light pollution. But this thing was, I mean, I won't say flashing because it wasn't like in a pulse of light, but just this constant, very, very bright shimmering. And it seemed to even change color a little bit. Like it would be mostly orange and then mostly white, maybe a little hint of green, just this rapidly change, not unlike like a disco ball, you know, but like seen far, far away. And we would kind of just, I remember us staring at it for a long time. And I mean, I grew up with a dad who loved stars, so, you know, he taught me how to find north from the Big Dipper and stuff like that since I was a little kid. So, you know, I don't have a huge knowledge of the night sky, but I mean, basic constellations and stuff like that, I can find my way around. So this wasn't a star that I had noticed before, you know, and at this point we'd been there for a month. And anyways, we didn't think too much of it. The next night we saw it again, and her and I remember we were standing up and like staring at it like, what, did that move? Because we just barely got this hint of movement, and we were staring at it more, and sure enough, it would go just in a weird, how do I say this? Almost like it was wiggling. It would just kind of hover up, you know, like we're looking at the horizon. So, I mean, and this is very flat land. So, you know, like if you hold your hand out at arm's length, you know, like what would be like an inch, you know, like go up and then go back down and then go back up and then to the left and then to the right. And we were just kind of quietly like, what the heck? Is this a drone? Is this this and that? And stuff like that. It started very lightly. It would be like small sightings like that. It, to a point, like, I remember maybe the second or third time we saw it, we had a couple columns holding up the awning over the porch. I would literally stand up and, like, press my face against the post to make sure that I was completely standing still and it wasn't just a trick of the eye, you know, and I would, you know, close one eye, use my dominant eye to keep, you know, keep it in focus. And sure enough, they would do it again. It would go left. It would go right. It would go up and down, sometimes diagonally, almost erratically sometimes. I remember, I think it was like the third or fourth time we saw this, and this would be, I'm not kidding, probably like two, three times a week we would see these lights. And I would, you know, we had other employees that lived on the ranch who I became friends with. And I remember I had my friend Robert come over. I'm like, hey, buddy, I told him what we were seeing. And sure enough, we're outside having a beer. And then he'd be like, whoa, what is that? And then he saw it. And then this one night there was a second one. And this just started happening. It happened so much that it was like, oh, there they are. And then we would just watch from a distance. You know, one would blink out completely and then come back in a different location. Sometimes they would just pulse, go off and on and off. Sometimes they kind of just halfway circle each other and stop for a minute or two. And then it was just kind of nuts. There was never like a definitive pattern of what they would do. So at this point, you know, I would say it's been, you know, a little over maybe like 2 months we've been there. And this one night I was outside by myself and just kind of staring at it. You know, it had showed up again and it wouldn't always be there, you know. And I remember staring at this thing, and I don't know if it was because I was by myself or whatever, but looking out, it's always to the west. And the thing was, there was a mesa way off in the horizon too. It's like, you know, a flat top mountain, and you could see it, you know, go behind it and come back up. So that tells me that that mesa was at least from my house, I think it was like 11 miles away. So this thing wasn't super close. So it wasn't like a drone, you know, that I was like mistaking it for. I watch it dip behind the mesa and then shoot back up. And this was the first time I ever saw them start moving really fast. Was it had started doing the hover left and right thing and then shot behind the mesa, came back up. And then it went from horizon to almost directly overhead in a matter of, I'd say, 3 seconds. And zigzagging the whole time, just like real fast this way, real fast that way, with a very large zigzag, and it stopped overhead. And just the feeling you get, it's like, what am I seeing? This is insanity. And then it went off, continued towards the east. We had another mountain range to the east, and it dipped behind it. And at this point, I ran inside and I got my girlfriend. I'm like, hey, you need to come out here and see this. Like, at this point, we had started coined a phrase, our friends. Because it was just like, oh, hey, our friends are back. You know, it was just being silly, but, you know, what are you going to do? And I go, hey, one of our friends are back, and it's going kind of nuts. Come out here. And we come out on the front porch again, and she looks west. I go, no, this way over here now. And I told her, of course, what had just happened. And then as we're outside, just like something playing a coy trick, it just kind of popped up behind the ridge on the east. And then it would dip back down, and it would come back up and shoot about 45 degrees up, you know, like between directly above and, you know, flat, and then duck back down. And then it came right over the horizon of the ridge to the east. And this was just nuts. So that ridge was at least, I would say, 4 miles away. And this thing, it had gone up and it hovered, I'd say, again, probably like, you know, a half inch to an inch above, you know, at arm's length, putting your finger together. It was about a half inch to an inch above the horizon. And in a very fast speed, it would shoot to the right about, that's again, using your hand as our outstretched arm as a measurement. It would shoot about 6 inches to the left and then back to the right. So it was just, it was making like a hovering. So if this was the ridge, it would kind of go up and then back down and then up again. And then it stopped right here and just left, right, left, right. Like it was scanning something. So, I mean, from where we were at, from our vantage point, if I had to guess, this was, I'd say, a couple hundred feet above the top of the ridge. And it had to have been at least a couple miles away, just going, you know, back and forth. That distance had to have been at least a mile. And I'm talking just there and back in a second, like it was nothing. And it just stayed there doing that for about, I'd say 10 solid minutes, to the point that my girlfriend's like, okay, let me know what else it does. And she goes back inside. You know, keep in mind, we'd been like seeing weird lights quite a bit at this point. And I stayed outside for about 45 minutes just watching this thing, to the point where I was like, okay, it's late. I got to work in the morning, and just left it. Like, okay, peace be with you, whatever the hell you are, and went inside. So that's kind of, those are like the intro stories, if you will, about how we started seeing things. So at this point, after that night, and I don't know, I was feeling kind of ballsy. I mean, I'm at this point, I'm like looking at, you know, a lot of Reddit pages and whatnot. You know, I mean, I'm just trying to see what, also, you know, hey, UFO sighting, like checking out the MUFON site for Wyoming. And there are a lot, there's a lot of listings of sightings. So I'm getting really interested at this point. And I started using, I had this really large Maglite, like, you know, those tactical military grade flashlights that you can focus the beam into almost a laser. I had one of those, and I had a couple different like headlamps and a couple little spotlights that I would, when I would start to see these things at night, I would get my flashlight and focus the beam, and I would just kind of follow it, you know, just tracing it wherever it would go. I had one, and it, I'm sure it looks silly, but hey, I'm in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, you know, I'll do what I want. I would set one of my headlamps to flash the SOS signal. I just wanted to be seen, I guess. If this is actually something, then I wanted to make sure I was being seen. And keep in mind that at no point was I like, this is definitely aliens. I mean, like, there's several military bases in Wyoming and Montana. There's the ICBM silos. There's a fantastic documentary called UFOs and Nukes on Amazon Prime that if anyone hasn't seen it, they should definitely check it out. They talk to a lot of ex-military men who work on these facilities, and they all have some pretty interesting stories. So I was trying to play devil's advocate for quite a while. And even to this day, if it was like, oh, that was just some top secret military stuff, okay. Like, I'm okay. I'm not saying this was aliens, but it's just completely unexplained. So anyway, I'm telling you all that because now I'm going to get into what I like to call actual encounters that happened. I'm just going to get into it. So one night, I'm out with my girlfriend on the front porch, and we're this time just hanging out smoking. And I looked over to the east of us, like over the same ridge where we'd seen that one, the one that was scanning. And instantly I knew something was off because, like I said, I know my constellations. But right above the ridge, I'd say about 1,000 feet above this ridge, you know, which has got to be at least, you know, it was a very curved ridge. So, you know, at one point it's 4 miles away. At one point it's, you know, the road kind of curves this way. So it was probably about a mile away at this point on the closest part of the ridge is what I'm saying. And there were four distinct, very bright lights at an angle like this. Okay. So I'm making like a 45 degree angle. Four very bright, very similar to, like the Phoenix lights, but it was only four of them. I couldn't see any outline, shape. I couldn't see anything like that. It was just four distinct lights hovering completely still. And it was not a constellation. They were brighter than any other star. It looked very out of place. And we're both staring at it. And I go, honey, keep your eyes on it. I'm gonna run inside and I'm gonna get my lights. And I run inside, come out like a minute or two later, got my headlamp on. I've got my big flashing spotlight, which also had an SOS signal that would do it in a strobe. And I walk off the porch. I'm standing in the middle of our driveway and I focus all my lights on this thing. And then I turn on the flashing SOS. Okay. So I'm just standing there like, okay, we're going to see what this is. I didn't have any plan. I didn't have any, you know, form of action or whatever. And I'm sitting there focusing these SOS beams at this thing, like directly. And it was a very like slightly, not foggy night, but just like when there's enough mist in the air that it'll pick up a flashlight beam to where it does almost look like a laser. So I can see exactly where I'm focusing this thing. And I focus it right on those lights and hold it there for about 30 seconds. And without a sound or anything, these four lights, they don't move independently of each other, but these four lights just flatten out as if, you know, from going from 45 down to just completely flat straight across. And then they all started moving towards us. These four lights coming directly at us. And at that point, I was scared. Like, I literally had this moment of panic. Like, I still get kind of goosebumpy when I talk about some of these stories because it was literally like a, oh shit moment, you know? These four lights, they straighten out and they're coming over, they're heading towards us. I kind of panic and I turn and kind of half walk, half run back towards the porch where my girlfriend is still sitting underneath the awning. And again, silently, but very fast, coming right overhead. And I'm looking up, and I kind of get back to the porch. I sat down in my, we both had these rocking like office chairs that we sat in out there. I fall back into my chair, and I roll over to look at her. She is still looking, like she is wide-eyed, scared. She's gripping my arm, and she's like, I remember she goes, "Honey," and again, there's an awning overhead. So as these lights are moving towards us, they disappear behind the awning, and right as they would have been directly overhead, what I described to you in the email that I sent you, it was this very, very intense vibration. It sounded like, I'm sure we've all been driving and you've had someone park next to you at a stoplight who has way too many bass speakers in their trunk, and then that rattling vibration, that, you know what I mean? It felt like that. It was like a series of bursts. Like if I had to recreate the sound, it would be like almost like a signal, but kind of erratic. And it vibrated both of us. Like you could feel it rumble in your chest as though you were at a concert and standing in front of the speakers, just the vibration. But we could also, you could hear it. It was a very low but powerful vibration that literally shook the window that was in our screen door right behind us. It was rattling our windows. We both felt it. We're gripping each other. And it was overhead. Like it felt almost like it was a beam of vibration. I don't know how else to describe it. I really don't. And then it came out on the other side of the awning. We're staring at it. All four lights go from white to red. And then it shot off to the west. Just like that, it was gone. Just gone. And her and I, we don't say anything. We're just scared. We didn't know how to describe what had just happened. And then before we could even say anything, like, you know, what the was that? We look up, because we're still looking at the sky, and now spread, like this is a, you know, huge open Wyoming sky. I go, "Hey, what's that?" And I see a single red light kind of moving like a plane, but not flashing. And then she goes, "Hey, there's one over here too." And then, "Oh, there's another one." Right after that first craft or whatever it was shot away, one by one, 9 individual red lights unblinking appeared in the sky. And they were all like slowly, they would look like an airplane, basically, like how you would describe seeing an airplane at night, but with no flashing. But 9 different red lights, all moving in different directions very slowly. In that part of Wyoming, especially at 11 o'clock at night, there's never that many planes in the sky. You know, there's a airport down in Cheyenne. There's the airport in Cody, 2 hours away. There's one in Jackson Hole, 5 hours to the west of us. You never saw 9 commercial flights late at night in that part of the country. And so we had no idea, like, what was that? What are these 9 lights? And so I remember at that point being like, okay, this has got to be some top military tech, or, you know, there's got to be some secretive whatever going on. And they probably were like, "Oh, hey, look at this jackass flashing us with lights that scare him." I would totally believe that. Absolutely. But it was just, that was the first time I would say there was any kind of contact, you know, quote unquote, if you wanted anything. So that was, that was quite an experience right there. And it scared the shit out of us, to be honest with you. Like, we didn't talk about it for a little bit. Okay, so I'm going to go. My next part is, so this is a few days later. I'm in the kitchen. And I think I told you there was a local who would come and stay with us on the weekends. She was a 72-year-old lady. She was a business owner. She owned a hunting and fishing outdoorsman style shop, camping gear and the like. She had been there her whole life. Her father started that shop. When he passed, she took it over. So she is a lifelong middle of nowhere Wyoming resident. Very conservative, I'll say that too, but very, very sweet. Yeah, very, very nice lady. I was telling the story. I was in the kitchen and I was telling my sous chef and my pastry chef about some of the things we had seen. The topic was, you know, the sightings. And like I said, the maintenance guy, Robert, had come over. He had seen things too at this point. So this was kind of known that, you know, we'd seen a couple things. So this lady, her nickname was Mikey. She was in the kitchen that night. Like I said, she didn't live there, so she wasn't always there to hear my stories. But she heard me describing this, and she kind of got quiet, and she approached me, and she goes, so did you see some flashing lights? Like, she could tell she was cautiously asking about this. She didn't want to go, "Oh, my God." Like, that wasn't her style. Let's just say that. She very cautiously was like, "So, you know, what'd you see?" And I explained it to her. And then I go, "You've been here your whole life. Have you ever seen anything like this? You know, have any or heard, or, you know, do you have anything?" And she just kind of got quiet and was like, "Well, yeah, And she went on to describe how she was part of the Lions Club, which is, you know, an organization, local business owners. They get together, I think, once a month and have a dinner. And they had this dinner in Buffalo, Wyoming, which is like an hour and a half to the east of this ranch. You can get there by highway, but there was also a semi-private road. The locals, it was like, if you know about it, you can use it, kind of a gravel road that also went from Buffalo to the ranch and then back to the highway. So it was a way to like avoid all the highway driving if you wanted to. So this woman, Mikey, it was her and her friend, and then their guests were the sheriff of the town and his wife. So the four of them, they went to have dinner, and they took the gravel road back. So they're off the highway, and it's a good 45 minutes, literally crossing a mountain on a gravel road at night. And she was driving, and she said, by the way, this is about 7 or 8 years ago is when she's telling me this story. The story happened 7 or 8 years ago, I should say. And she said they were driving. They were coming up the hill. They're on the gravel road, the mountain road, coming up a slight hill that then leveled out, and they could see the gravel road extending 100 yards plus in front of them. And right as they got up on top and the road leveled out, they saw at the end of the straightaway, she described it as hovering 3 to 4, maybe 5 feet off the ground. And she said it was this bright ball of light. And she said it was not my words. She goes, for lack of a better word, it looked like a disco ball. She's like, it wasn't like pulsing light, but it was just this weird menagerie of lights. It wasn't one color or two colors. It was just kind of, it's hard to explain. She goes, disco ball. And they stopped. She said she stopped the truck and she checked with her passengers, like, hey, are you guys seeing this? They all four confirmed. Again, this is the sheriff and all conservative people. And they all confirmed, like, yeah, what is that? And then she said it was over like a gunshot. She said this thing just came right at them, shot straight towards them. And it passed them on the driver's hand side. It was there and then behind them and gone in the blink of an eye. She said it never made a sound. It illuminated the road and everything around it all the way past this, like it brightened up the inside of their truck and just gone. Just whew. And she goes, yeah, that happened. She's like, I was there for that one. And then she went on and she goes, funny enough, I was actually at the Lions Club meeting in Warland just a couple months ago. And she goes, and that guy who was with me, he's no longer the sheriff, of course. That was, you know, 8 years ago. But he was there. He wasn't the current sheriff, but he was there at the meeting. And I saw him sitting there at a table. And I walked up to him, just, you know, kind of shooting the shit for a little bit, catching up. And she goes, I don't know why, but I just felt like asking him. And she goes, hey, do you ever put any thought into that thing that we saw that night? And she said that he just looked down at his cowboy boots and then kind of just slowly shook his head. And like, he did not want to talk about it. And then he just changed the subject. Like, so she asked, do you ever put any thought into what we saw? And just, she said, all you could see was his cowboy hat. He just looked down and just slowly shook his head like he didn't want to talk about it. And that was it.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
So that's kind of alluding to, like, you know, yeah, there are some tales that go back, you know, in this area. So that was all in 2017. My girlfriend at that time, her and I broke up. I want to say it was late September, early October of 2017. So she moved out. I'm there, you know, on my own for the next several months. And I would see the flashing lights from time to time. I would see the little, you know, the little disco balls, if you want to call them. Sometimes they would just show up behind a mountain, zip far off to the left, sometimes horizon to horizon, just disappear. So it was never like a static thing, but just once in a while, I'd be like, hmm. And again, it happened so many times. It's like, oh, there's my friends. And just, it is what it is. You know, you just kind of see these things, but you know, nothing more encounter wise, I guess I should say. Nothing happened for a little while. And, I started dating my current girlfriend, in the beginning of 2018. I want to say it was February. We would see each other every weekend. She'd come and stay with me. And I had told her about some of these things. She's 10 years younger than me. So it was like, you know, telling her about a couple things. And I, you know, how do you, especially in a new relationship, you know, you don't want to sound crazy, but it's like, there are, you know, there's a chance you're going to see some things. And it was kind of great. I remember her and I had seen a couple things. She would describe especially like seeing what would look like a camera flash, as though there was some huge camera up in the sky that just took one picture and then there would be nothing. And we would both see those quite a bit. Her and I both started calling them our friends because, you know, that's what I was calling them. So that was February of 18 when we got together. A couple months go by, we would see small sightings. In May of 2018, at this point, with the summer approaching, I had already done my summertime hiring. So I now had a new sous chef, a new pastry chef, my maintenance guy and his wife. We had a little get together at my place. I had a fire pit right out front in the front yard, like 30 feet in front of our front porch. So this one night I have, it's me, my girlfriend, sous chef, my pastry chef and her husband. We had probably about 7 or 8 people sitting around this campfire. A couple of my waitresses were there too. And we're hanging out and we're having drinks and we're just, you know, having a great time. We got music playing. And then the subject of the lights came up. My sous chef, he was my new sous chef. I got a new one every year. Him and I had actually worked together in Missouri years ago. So we had a little bit of a history. He had a couple sightings in his life. So he was very interested in this. We're sitting around the fire and we start talking about it. And I'm not kidding you. It was like almost as soon as we started, like at the moment of their mention, I go, yeah, it was, you know, you'd look up and you'd just see these friends of ours. That's what I was saying. And as I looked up, everyone saw this one, could have been a very bright satellite, out of nowhere comes shooting in right over. This is all over and done in 2 seconds. This light comes zooming in to right overhead over the campfire. And then it performs this enormous Z, like left, right, left. It makes a huge zigzag. Halfway through this, you know, zig, right at the zig before it hit the zag, as it were, it was joined by a second light. And to where my sous chef goes, look, there's another one. It's trailing him. So real quick, as soon as we start talking about seeing these things, one zooms in, is joined by a second one, and they zigzag and then disappear. And I mean, 7 or 8 people just kind of go, what the shit, you know? It was weird. One of my waitresses, who was a foreign exchange student from Paris, actually, she was very like, oh, that's just planes. I mean, instantly, it was just like, no, come on. Which everyone else is like, are you kidding me? That was not a plane. Yeah, I'm adding that one in there just because, like, we would have witnesses. Like, we would literally have people come out there and they would see these things. So that was May of 2018. Following month, June, this night, it was just me and my girlfriend. And we were sitting outside, like, you know, per usual. And I noticed it was on the, so there's the mountain ridge to the east of us, looking out at the mountain and not above or below, but like right midway in the mountain, I saw these two very bright lights, which for a second I thought, you know, my current girlfriend was like, I think, Connie, those are just dirt bikes. That's either the headlight of a dirt bike or an ATV. Because at first my thought is, oh, it's them, of course. But she's like, I don't think so. And I was like, okay, maybe you're right. That's probably just, you know, there's people late night, you know, running around. That part of the mountain, though, was BLM. That's the Bureau of Land Management. So that's private property when you don't see people out there very often. But for a second there, I was like, okay, maybe that's what it is. Stood there staring at them for a while. Then they're moving. They're erratically. I'm still kind of thinking that can't be a headlight because if it's, I mean, that mountain is a couple miles away. And this thing is going from the top of the mountain to the bottom, up and down pretty quickly. No dirt bike can do that. And then we see from behind the mountain, just the emergence of light. So like, you know, when you're driving at night and you can see a pair of headlights coming up over the hill coming towards you, before you see the actual bulbs themselves, you can see just the imminent glow of something approaching. So in that manner, you start seeing this light coming up from behind the mountain. And then sure enough, it was another ball of light and it kind of crested the mountain. So I'm like, okay, maybe that is someone just driving around. But then the third light continued to go straight up, easily a couple hundred feet above the top of the mountain. That's not a dirt bike. That's not an ATV. I don't know what the shit that is. And this thing, the third light, just kind of very, it's hard to describe how these things are moving. The best way I can describe it, they move the same way, like if you were staring at an aquarium and there's three little fish kind of just in there hanging out. You know, they don't have any real pattern. There's no real thing what they're doing. They're just kind of meandering around. just these three lights, and like two would kind of zigzag over here, one would go this way, and then one would kind of scurry back, like literally would speed up and join the other two lights. And then you'd have these three lights just kind of just exploring the area, it looked like. And we sat there for about 5 minutes, and then we noticed them kind of coming closer. They were getting, you know, bigger in diameter. And my partner, she was like, I'm going inside. No. And I'll be honest, I got that fear again. I'm like, okay. And we went inside. We hid inside the rest of the night. So that was another one of the sightings. I wrote down here, all summer of 2018, there were multiple flashes, stars that were, they would appear and disappear. I mean, there was never ever just one specific thing that happened every single time. It would just kind of happen as it happened. And every sighting was somewhat different. Oftentimes it would look like you were tracking a satellite, like, oh, hey, there. Oh, wait, no, that's just a satellite. You know, you'd see the very tiny pinpoint of light, you know, moving in a solid line, not flashing. And then sometimes you would see the satellite just stop and then either reverse or just change course completely. But without the zig and the zag, it would just be a satellite, non-blinking, tiny light, and then just completely stop and then go the other way or just shoot off. So that was also a regular thing. Now, that's kind of the background stories. Here are the two things that I really want to share, because like I'm going to get kind of goosebumpy when I tell these stories. The second one, I'm nervous to do so, but I've been considering getting some hypnosis regression therapy, and you'll find out why in a second. But this is just because it's completely unexplainable, and it, to this day, her and I, when we talk about it, we still get uncomfortable. So this first event, it was either the end of August or early September of 2018. This had to have been, I would say, before midnight, between 10 and midnight at night. It's just the two of us. We have dogs, but no one else is around. I had to work in the morning. She was getting ready for bed. She was just laying in bed watching TV, and I got in the shower. I got out of the shower, and I remember calling out to her like, hey, babe, I needed something. And she didn't answer. I didn't hear the TV on anymore. And I just kind of peek my head into the bedroom, which is right next to the bathroom. And I go, babe. And she's there. She's laying on her stomach and she's facing the window. So like where our bed was, it was just like a box spring and a mattress on the floor. It wasn't a very high bed. So she's on her stomach. The window was right behind our bed. You know, it's still nice outside. So the window's open. It's just the screens on both these windows. She's on her stomach and she has her nose touching the screen. Her eyes are closed and she's just being quiet. And I go, I'm like, babe, like, what are you doing? And she doesn't do anything at first, like for like a second or two, she's just as though I didn't say anything. And then as though she just heard me, she goes, hi, hey. She's like, honey, come here. You got to listen to this. And I go, okay. And I'm wearing my towel and I kind of sit down on the bed next to her and I go, listen for what? She's like, no, come down here. And so I get on my stomach next to her and I'm looking out this window. You know, we can't see anything. It's dark outside. Our front porch light wasn't on. So we're just looking at this screen. And sure enough, I start to hear, we both kind of described it as like a very low, like droning electrical sound. Like, it's kind of hard to describe, but like a very low, like a kind of like that, like a very low droning pulsing. And clear as a bell, but not clear if that makes any sense, because you couldn't make out any actual words or syllables. But underneath that whoom, whoom sound was this disassociated, almost mechanical voice that was like whispering, for lack of a better word. So it was like this, like this very weird, you can't make a single word out. At the same time hearing this like this weird electrical gibberish sound. I don't know how else to describe it to you. At that moment, I'm hearing it. And I'm like, I instantly, like I got goosebumps and I'm like, what? And then I close my eyes and I'm listening to this sound because I am now completely washed. And my partner will tell you the exact same thing. You're just awash with this all-encompassing, like, comfortable feeling. I just felt great. I just felt like, I was so soothed. it was just so comfortable. Like, oh, this is good. I'm supposed to be doing this. I don't know how else to say it. That happened for, I don't know. We didn't check the time. I didn't have a clock in my shower. I didn't, you know, I didn't have my phone on me. So I don't know how long we both lay there with on our stomachs staring out this window. After what could have been a minute, could have been 20 seconds, I don't know. I opened my eyes and I hadn't realized I was doing this, but I have my entire face, I've like my head turned to the side and I have my whole left side of my face pressed up against the screen of the window. My mouth is like half open and I'm just like, I'd been drugged or something. That's not how, I don't behave like that. You know, I'm not a dog licking a window, but when I came to, as it were, or whatever, I've got my face just as though it was a pillow. Just, oh my God, I could be here forever. That was the feeling. It was like, I'm happy. I never want to move again. That's how we both described feeling. We kind of came out of it. And at this point, the sound is gone. Like when I like put my, when I pulled my face away from the screen, there's no more sound. And I look at her and she looks at me and we're like, what was that? We both instantly have this kind of how I'm feeling right now, this little jittery, nervous feeling. And we both went out for a cigarette. We both had to go outside for a smoke. And, you know, I grabbed my robe and I'm like, what? You know, we're kind of like in this uncomfortable spot. We went from like really like, oh God, to what the shit was that? And we both put our robes on. We go outside and we light a cigarette and we're kind of just sitting in our front chairs. Like, you know, my leg is kind of twitching. Like, what? Okay. You know, like you don't want to just jump into it. Like, okay, what? You know, it was very this state of confusion kind of. We both start looking around, of course, like looking for our lights, you know, our friends, like, is there something going on? And at this point, probably one of the weirdest things we saw visually is I have a German Shepherd who's now 4. At this point in time, he was just about 1. My German Shepherd, Keelan, was laying down. He's in the yard, probably about, I'd say, 20 feet in front of us and slightly to the right. So he's just laying down in the middle of the yard. And I hear him start to whine. There's nothing around. I mean, he's a German Shepherd, so if he hears a stranger or he hears a noise, he's trained to protect his dad, you know. And he's laying there, and he just starts, you know, very like, you can tell he's distressed. We both look over at him, and there is a perfect circle. I would say this circle is about 6 feet in diameter. Now, this wasn't like it was a light. But it wasn't like a spotlight. There was no beam. It just looked like back in the 90s, there was the watch called the Timex, like the watches that would just lightly illuminate like a pale green. I don't know if you remember those watches or not. But that's like describing a very dim version of that light. A very, very faint but definitive light green circle was illuminating my dog. And he whined. And just like that, it just turned off. It was gone. And then we both walked out in the yard. We're looking up. We're looking all around. We saw literally nothing. Like, didn't hear a sound. There was just nothing. And just like what had happened, you know, times before this, we both got scared. We went inside. We're like, what? We didn't even want to talk about it for a while. It was that weird. So, yeah. So that was August, or does it turn 18? That was the window voices / spotlight event. Now, nothing happened for a little while after that. I mean, we'd occasionally see the flashes and whatever. But the one that, this is the scariest one for me, and this is the one I really want to get the hypnosis for. We call it the time loop. So this was the last major experience I wrote down here. We still would see the flashes from time to time. Now, this was February or March of 2019. We left the ranch August 1st of 19 and moved here to Arkansas. So this was, you know, a few months before we left the ranch. At this point, my girlfriend had moved in with me. So she was living with me full time. We had a pretty normal routine at night. You know, I would make dinner. She would put a movie on. Like I said, we were far from town. It's not like we were going out to go to the bars or whatever. Neither one of us were big drinkers. So that was we were homebodies. And this one particular night we were doing a Fast and the Furious movie marathon for whatever reason. So we were just doing a movie marathon. I was in the kitchen making dinner. Now, I'm going to kind of describe this part of my house that we were living in to kind of give you a picture of what's about to happen. It was the living room and the kitchen were all basically one really large room that was separated by an island countertop. Okay. So that was pretty much it. So TV and the DVD player were in the far corner of the kitchen, and the complete opposite corner was where my stove and where my stove and my range and everything was. Okay. So we'd been hanging out, we'd finished a movie, and I was going to go finish dinner. She's going to put the other movie in. Okay. So we both get up. Our backs are to each other. I am in the kitchen. I would say from back to back, we're about 20 feet apart. Okay. So she's in the far corner. Her back is to me. She's bent over, putting a DVD in. I'm in my kitchen. I had our plates. I pulled out I can't remember what I was cooking, but I pulled out whatever I had in the oven, and I'm plating our two plates. So my back is to her, and I'm putting the finishing touches on her food, or I was just starting to plate. I can't really remember, to be honest with you, but I remember I was plating the food back to back. Now, as clearly as we can hear each other, I hear her like yell my name. Okay. Now it sounded like this, like our backs were to each other. And then she goes, "Clint," like with the high inflection at the end. And two things about that. One, like, we don't call each other by our first names. It's always like, "Hey honey," or "Hey babe," "Hey sweetheart." Like, that's just how we are. Like, we don't say our first names. That's just not how we are. But I hear her go, "Clint," like it was a gradual, like something was happening. And so of course, instantly I just whip around. I turn around like instantly, thinking like maybe she, I don't know, stubbed her toe, anything. I don't know. I spin around only to see her spin around. And before I can say anything, she goes, "What?" And I go, what do you mean? "What? You what? You just called my name." And she goes, "What are you talking?" "No." She goes, "You just said baby really, really loud. Like you were trying to get my attention. You sounded scared. I thought you cut yourself." She's like, "Are you okay?" Cause you know, I'm a chef. I'm working on my knife. And I go, no. "You just said my name. You said Clint, like you were really scared." And she's like, no. "You just said the word baby really, really loudly. Like you were calling out to me. You went baby." At the exact same time, we both heard each other call out to each other. We didn't hear anything else. I didn't hear the word baby. She didn't hear the word Clint. We didn't hear anything else other than the other person in distress calling out to each other. Like I'm getting it right now. Like I get goosebumps all over my body. My legs are covering it right now. Because as soon as we said that, like acknowledged what had happened, we both from head to toe got this like wave of goosebumps, like that crawling skin feeling, to where we both looked at each other like, "Are you seeing this?" And like showing each other our arms and legs like, "What?" And we both were kind of like a little out of breath. I don't recall being out of breath beforehand. We're like, and we just walked towards each other really fast and just held each other for at least a solid minute. I was kind of just rocking her back and forth. And I'm like, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, are you okay?" And we're just holding each other. Like, and we both go, "What the hell was that?" And there's really nothing else to describe except just the absolute, just the fear, the confusion. I don't know how to convey that. I mean, this was it's a double wide trailer. You know what I mean? Like a glorified double wide trailer with a little deck, like, you know, we don't have like super close friends who would come by and try and pull pranks. We don't have anything like that. You know, I mean, like, it was intense. And so after we were like, okay, let's just try and neither one of us ate, I don't think. Again, I didn't look at the time. That's the one that kills me, is that I wasn't like paying attention to the time on that one. Because again, we were like, "Do you want to have a smoke?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And we went outside, we sat there for a while and we had a few cigarettes and we're like, "This is getting weird. This is getting really weird." And then at one point she goes, "Do you think that had anything to do with the voices we heard a while back?" And I just didn't want to talk about it. Like, as much as I want to know the truth and I've been like, okay, let's have disclosure, let's have this. In that moment with that full body, it's like your body was trying to tell you that something had happened. Like when she was like, "Do you think that had something to do with you know, the last story. And I just didn't, I was like, I don't know. And I didn't want to talk about it. Like it scared me. Did I tap into something? Is this all, I don't know. I had no idea, but that's the story that we call the time loop, because I don't know what it could be. I have no idea, but very vivid. And like, we have a fantastic relationship. We don't lie to each other. You know, we don't get in fights, you know, like, she's becoming a therapist. You know, we're very open, honest couple. It scared the living shit out of both of us. Like, seriously. And, that was like our last major event. Like I said, we moved away from the ranch. I got another job offer. So I came back here to the Midwest in August of 19. Yeah, I would tell some, you know, I would, like I said, people would be like, oh, hey, what was it like out there? And I would, you know, say certain things. And then I noticed the first couple of months after being here in August, and I was telling, I remember telling my father about it. And same thing, like what just happened to me earlier. When I tell the story, like it starts like in my face, and then like my neck, and then my arms, it's this, like I've actually had not goosebumps, but like it almost feels like goosebumps on my face. Like all my skin starts to kind of tighten up a little bit, like out of a fear reaction, just telling that story. The others, I don't really get that. You know, even with the voices in the window, it makes my heart beat a little faster telling that one. But whenever we talk about the time loop story, head to toe, my skin tightens up and I have like tight goosebumps on my legs even. To the point my dad was like, are you okay? You know, like, At that point, I'm a 36, 37 year old talking to his father, like, hey, Dad, I had this weird experience in the mountains, you know. And by the end of the story, he's like, are you okay? You know, I'd be at work and I'd tell that story and same thing. He's just like, oh, God. So I don't have any explanation. If there's anyone who hears this, I would love to hear it if you've had anything like that, or especially if you were in, you know, the Wyoming or Montana area, you've experienced something like that. Oh, my God, I would love to hear it, because, you know, like I said earlier, when we were talking, like, I'm not really big on social media. You know, I don't do shit for likes. I can't remember last time I posted on Facebook or Instagram or anything. Like, I've spent a lot of my time in isolation for a reason, you know, like, it's what I prefer. I've got better things to do than make stuff up.
Some definitely strange goings on in Wyoming.
Yeah. And again, we never saw, you know, an entity. We never, you know, I'm not going to say like, oh, we saw a little green man, nothing like that. It was lights in the sky. And then it was the interactions that really, you know, solidified that something was happening. You know, the night of the vibration, you know, the lights turning red and disappearing, you know, literally shaking the windows of the house. And like you could feel a vibration in your chest. That was a physical interaction, you know, whatever that was. Maybe if that was the exhaust of a super secret military plane, okay, fine. Like, I'm not saying it was definitely an alien. I don't know. But that, the window night especially, you know, just whatever the hell that was, it was otherworldly. And I mean, I've dabbled in my early 20s with psychedelics and stuff. I've had some cool experiences or whatever. Nothing explains that. You know what I mean? At the time I was getting drug tested, so, you know, I wasn't high. So it was a really crazy experience.
And you both experienced it as well.
Yeah.
The time loop and, you know, the window, that's both very strange.
And so, yeah, if there's anyone who has got a similar experience, please tell me, let me know. I would love to hear you. Yeah, I think something that I've kind of come into a new practice that I'm trying to implement is I'm trying to stop, like when I talk about stuff like this, I'm trying to stop saying the phrase, okay, this is going to sound crazy, but, you know, like that's how, you know, you can't help but just naturally want to say that, like, okay, because there's the fear of ridicule and there's the fear of someone thinking that you're just making something up. And it's like, I don't care about making stuff up. I don't care what other people think, but you still don't want to just look like some jackass trying to get attention.
I think probably about 80% of my emails all begin with, I don't want to sound crazy or you're going to think I'm crazy. I get it all the time.
It's hard not to say that.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. But people that have these experiences, you know, they're just normal, everyday people.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you found out.
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything else to say about it, but it's really an experience.
It's funny, as you were talking about the window incident and the vibration, mm-hmm. and stuff, and the weird sound. I mean, as you were telling that, then there was a weird sound. It was kind of preluded to the when the motorcycle went by.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, it's not uncommon for when I'm doing a recording, mm-hmm. that other sounds will be picked up. I don't always pick them up when I'm actually recording, but when I go back and edit, obviously I've got the headphones on, I'm in complete silence, and I can hear these strange voices and sounds. Now, I never mention it on the show until it was a couple of episodes ago, and I was doing all the editing, and I kept on hearing these voices during the whole thing, pretty much. And I kind of just left it. And then a couple of days later, I started getting emails where people were hearing the same kind of things.
Weird.
Yeah, weird. And I've had it several times on episodes. But yeah, I had quite a lot of emails about that episode. Huh. I think it was episode 115.
Okay. I'm going to check that one out. I'm going to write that down.
It was strange. But I get it quite often. I hear a voice and I'm like, that's weird. You know, because I know there's no one in the room with them, you know. Sometimes you get dog barking or a cat meowing and stuff. But yeah, every now and again, I get the odd strange voices.
Weird.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Clint. It's been wonderful hearing from you.
Thank you so much. This is kind of cathartic to be able to talk about it. So thank you so much for letting me come on and, you know, spill my guts.
It's liberating.
Yeah.
You know, because it kind of gets things off your chest, and then the listeners will hear it and then they're like, oh my God, that's pretty much what I saw, or I experienced that.
Yeah.
So it's good.
And I love your work, man. Thank you so much for like creating this platform, seriously.
You know, if it wasn't for the guests and people's experiences, then there wouldn't be a show. You know, it's great that people are coming forward. So it all helps.
Yeah.
Good talking to you, Clint. All right, keep in touch and I'll speak to you soon.
Will do, Nick. Thanks again, bud. Have a great night.
Yeah, take care, brother.
You too, my friend.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Clint for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.